Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, June 15th.
The 15th.
The 15th. Whatever that means.
The middle of it all.
Yeah.
Yes.
How are you, Tori?
I'm great. Yes. How are you doing?
Are you like newly energized with your promising future?
Yes, I'm newly energized. I just went to, we played trivia last night and...
And you killed?
We killed, but I got too tired because I'm old and we had to leave even though we were in first place. But it's like we were in round four and he's like, there's 10 rounds, dude.
Oh my God.
Dude.
That's a long time.
I've had my bangers and mash. I've eaten my, drank my shot of, you know, whatever. I can't stay that long.
Right.
Mommy has to go to bed. So mommy went to bed. But we came out on top.
Really? Yeah. That was good. What was like a good question you answered that nobody would know?
Who composed the Star Spangled Banner?
Oh, well, I give up on that one.
Yeah.
So you know it?
Francis Scott Key. That's because I'm from D.C.
That's true. You know everything.
I know everything. But then again, they did ask for when America declared independence. And I was like, July 4th, 1776? And it was July 2nd?
Oh.
I don't understand that question. But whatever. We left right after that, so it's okay.
Well, maybe when it was announced, and then maybe when
but
it was actually signed.
Who knows that?
Right.
Whatever.
But that's why they ask it, because it's not as simple
whoever
as
got that right got was on their phone. Whatever. I think someone was cheating. But then they
probably
asked, they asked how many, where was Marco Polo from?
Let's see. I'll tell you. Italy?
Yes.
Okay.
Venice.
Yes.
I was worried it was Portugal or Spain, but it wasn't. And then they did, I don't remember some of the... Oh, how many stars on the European flag?
European flag?
Yeah.
There's a European flag like for the European Union?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I have no idea.
It was. I said eight. There was 12. I had no idea. My first thought was 39, and then I didn't say it out loud. And
God.
I was like, oh, good, I didn't say it out loud.
No, not that many countries there, but you figure about a dozen or so, right?
It was a dozen, a good baker's dozen. Who knew? And I talked to my mom in... my mom's in the hospital, unfortunately, but we FaceTimed with her. Yeah. I was in the middle of trivia, and I ran outside to FaceTime, and I'm like, Dad, how many stars are on the European flag? He goes, Victoria, it's 12, and you should have known that.
Oh, my God. What a family, man.
What a family.
I mean, you guys are like a library, you know?
Oh, he was very disappointed. Very disappointed. So that's great.
It sounds like, did you have like a structured childhood? I mean, was it like you did everything you were supposed to do, right? They had everything figured out.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
But that's why you came out like this. You see, they invested in
They did. And I did go to a school that is very hippy dippy, which was great. Because I could have gone to like a boarding school where it was all strict.
That's true.
I went into, there was no dress code. You could leave at any time without signing out. We called the teachers by their first names. Everything was question authority. I mean, the Obamas and Clintons looked at GDS and then went with Sidwell because it was like too liberal. So they went with our rival. So again, it's just I grew up in a very cool atmosphere and then very cultured.
Right.
So theater and then horseback riding and
there you go.
And now I'm poor.
But
scooping ice cream.
But
so sad.
Everything's temporary. But you've got to I mean, look, you're cultured, and it's a good thing.
It is.
It's a good thing.
It's a great
thing
if I use it correctly. I think if you're cultured and you're educated and you use it for being a voice for another human being or a people or women or whatever your interest is,
right,
other than just using it for the crossword, which I was doing it for a while,
right,
it's very useful.
But I think in Jeopardy, you do better than most
people.
My
godfather won Jeopardy three times. Yeah.
Have you tried the test online?
Yeah, I knew you did. I did try it. The river one, I don't know.
I don't even remember what it was.
Rivers? Who knows?
It's very... I know many rivers, actually. But that's the thing. You see, what they tackle is the holes in your knowledge.
That's right.
Right?
That's
like, I have holes, like literature, poetry, shit like that, theater.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But see, like Jack Lowe, who's my godfather, he knew everything. Now, he lost because the clicker... a younger person was faster on the clicker.
Wow.
That's what he says. Yeah. Anyway, he won a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he knew those holes because he comes home and reads the encyclopedia.
Right, exactly.
He's a crazy person.
You got to read up on what you don't know.
Yeah.
But I figure also I don't know it because I'm not interested in it. Why would I read up on it?
He literally would come home from we'd go out as a family and he'd come home and read the encyclopedia and my mom would be like, Jack, put the book down. We want to discuss things with you.
Right.
And he's just one of those guys. He is a vexologist, meaning he's a flag expert. So he has a room in his house of all flags and he goes to Kenya for the flag conference. I mean, this is a weird dude, you know. He's a great guy.
Very cool. Yeah. So you've got an interesting family.
I have a really weird family.
I mean, it's not weird. I don't think it's
very
weird.
Very fascinating.
You don't know what other families are like.
That's right.
You know?
And my godmother is a worker at the elephant house at the zoo and owns an elephant in Kenya. She sponsors one and they visit Kenya.
Oh, they sponsor it. Yeah.
I have a very strange family. So when we go to the zoo, we see my godmother, the elephant house. So it's very interesting.
Well, like I told you, it'll pay off eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff doesn't go wasted, you know?
No, like my audition, I had like 50 auditions for this new job I'm getting, and the randomness of the knowledge I had was finally useful.
Really?
Because we spoke from George Clooney to Amala Clooney's baby to like why I believe Kamala Harris could be the first woman president. So these are a large range of someone that might know Amala Clooney but might not know Kamala Harris.
Right.
Well, I grew up in that world, so, but it's done nothing for me for 10 years.
Right, yeah. And Tori's going to continue to tease us with what she's doing until we finally can find out about it.
I just have to have it signed.
I'm just putting the pieces of the puzzle together. I'm still nowhere close to figuring out.
I'm turning into Carmen Sandiego.
But I'll ask you a couple questions. If you can't answer, don't. But
okay.
But the other people on the show, are they like about your age too?
I'm a little bit older, actually.
Really?
Around my age. I'm probably one of the youngest.
One of the youngest.
Yeah, but I think there's 5 of us. They're people that have been hosts that you've seen and know and probably recognize from if you watch shows. And I was surrounded by the best professionals in the world, and I made it out, so I don't know how that happened. And it got testy. They wanted you to be real, and I had a strong argument in one of the auditions about something, and I could tell that the person who was arguing with me, I had debated this person on air before, and I could tell they were picking an opinion just that was opposite of whatever everybody else was. It wasn't as if they were genuinely feeling this argument.
I see.
And the one thing the producers had said, like, we can smell when you're not being real, so just be real. So he just, I saw the person talk themselves out of a job, because this person went on a rant that had made no sense, and I just looked at camera, and I was like, anyone at home making sense of this? Raise your hand. No one's raising their hand, you know. So I was like, I got to get out of this. So it's interesting.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, the laughter you're hearing in the background is our guest.
I love the laughter.
Yeah, we're gonna have to bring her in because she obviously can't contain herself.
I love it. I love it. I just have to remember I'm not at a comedy show. I need to, you know.
She's used to comedy. That's exactly right.
And this voice belongs to Rachel Wolfson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And it's interesting how we met Rachel. Tori, you were at the Comedy Store last week. And Rachel was there.
I was.
Right? She was the hottie McHotterstein in that crop top.
Thank you so much. I wore, crop tops are life. I mean, I'm wearing one today.
Right. Yeah, crop tops for me are not life. They are demonic hell.
I mean, honestly, like, at what age is it inappropriate? You know, but I don't care.
If you look like this, you can do whatever you want. With
crop exactly.
Top.
You got the abs. You
baby.
It's called Forever 21.
That's exactly what
reason,
it is. That's,
you know, what I mean.
Right.
I still shop there. I love it.
Rachel, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
So this happened not the usual way where someone just pitches a show or an interview, but we actually met you briefly at the show.
Yeah.
So what happened was there were how many? 12 women I counted, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And pretty funny women.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so tell us a little bit, how did you get into, how did you get connected with that? Have you been a comedian for a long time?
Truthfully, about a year. My sorority sister, we went to college in Washington, D.C.
Nice.
It's so cool that you're from there.
Yes.
I went to school at American, and my sorority sister, when I moved out here, I did the whole East Coast tour, went to college out there, and moved back to the West Coast originally from Vegas. My sorority sister, who I went to school with in D.C., who's from out here, started doing stand-up a couple years ago, and I was like, oh, I need to be doing this.
Really?
Yeah. So she put me in touch with Lisa, who
my
is,
teacher
is the madame of comedy. That's she's amazing, right. Lisa Sunstedt.
Yeah, she's the one that put the show together.
She puts the show together. She books it. She's worked with all of the most famous women comedians in the industry, as well as male comedians, but like specifically like any female comedian you can ever think of, she's worked with them.
Really?
Yeah.
How they started with in her class.
They always start with
her. So she's got that reputation.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. You know, if you bring up like, okay, where can I go for female comedy? Oh, go to Lisa. Yeah. You know?
She is like a brothel of comedy mm-hmm. for women.
Awesome.
She's great. And some of the closest people I work with are in the class that I was in then. And mm-hmm. they're all doing well.
It is like a sorority, a comedy sorority, if you will.
It's like mm-hmm. cool chicks. Yeah. They're all funny.
Yeah.
And funny, I never cool joined chicks. A sorority because I was too snobby to do so. I think that's the worst mistake, by the way. Don't go to University of Michigan and not join a sorority.
Also, idea. I was also the worst sorority
I should have been that person.
I was the worst. I have a problem with authority. Selectively, yeah. Right?
I love that.
Yeah.
But so. Yeah, but I wish it was like a sorority that I never had because it was like funny ass women that were smart and like willing and brave to go up and do mm-hmm. comedy. Right. I was like, these girls are the coolest stuff.
Right.
So
it is. And it's such a man's world. So to have like a place where women can go and, you know, unite and have, you know, a support place.
Yeah.
Supportive place.
It's right in our house. Mm-hmm. She teaches out of her house.
Yep.
So
it's not creepy. Yeah. It's not creepy.
And it's an uphill battle for female comedians, right? Because yeah. it's such a male-dominated field.
Yeah, I mean, to say the least, it is a man's world, and you really have to fight, and you have to align yourself with really good people,
right?
To you know.
So
now, you have to be ready.
Yeah.
But I mean, but there are men that will give women a chance, right?
Yeah, but usually if it's not pretty, yeah, absolutely. And actually being a female comic right now is particularly like trendy, which mm-hmm. is cool.
Right.
But usually when what Rachel's saying is like, you'll see a lineup and there'll be one chick and 16 dudes. Mm. So it's not like they're 100%. It's not like they're not allowing it in, but you see almost 1% of the lineup will be Eliza Schlesinger.
Right.
And it's so many men right. and then one woman.
Like I was on a show 2 days ago in San Diego. I was the only girl on a show. It was 5 guys. And I'm lucky because I have a couple male comics who are mentors to me who've taken me under their wing, and I don't have to sleep with them.
Yay!
So. Nice.
Plus.
How cool is that, man? Yeah, how often does that happen?
Such an asset.
It never. So that's important too, is to, you know, align yourself with like really good mentors, male and female. So
yeah, very cool. Mm-hmm. So you were born and grew up in Vegas?
Born and raised, yep.
How cool. What part of town did you live in?
I lived in Summerlin. If you golf, Summerlin you've definitely is nice. Heard of it?
You see,
the golfing
is,
area.
It's a suburb of Vegas.
Of Vegas, yeah, like northeast, right?
If I wish I knew direction.
Yeah, me northeast. Too. Believe me, I know. I lived there twice.
That's
in
right.
Vegas.
Oh wow.
At 2 different times.
Yeah.
And so when I lived there in the '70s, Summerlin was not even a glint
not
in anybody's
even a
eyes.
Wow.
None. And then when I lived there in the early 90s, that's when Summerlin was being built.
It was a couple before the housing market crashed. It was the fastest growing city or the second fastest growing city in the country.
Right. So it's just like house, houses,
right. buildings, everything. Wow. Yeah.
Can you imagine now? I remember at the time, and we're talking like what, 25, 30 years ago, right? Somebody told my dad, buy a couple of like acres in Vegas.
You
right?
would have done.
Well, so listen, he did for $50,000.
Wow.
Nothing, right?
Nothing.
Then they said, you know, and then they moved to Israel. They're like, we're not going to leave the investment here. We're going to sell it. Barely made any money today. Probably millions.
Yeah. I don't even find out.
I know. So I don't even want to know about this. Don't want to think
about
it. It's
like that Apple guy who sold for like $85 his stocks and now they're worth $51 million. Dollars. Dude,
oh
that guy shouldn't have left.
How would he sleep in?
I know, right? So you got to know what the hell you're doing, man. If you got something big, you know, hold on to it. But mm-hmm. But Vegas is still affordable if people mm-hmm. want to live there, right?
A lot of people are like moving to those parts of the country, specifically Vegas, because the cost of living is so low. My mm-hmm. sister, she lives in a 2-bedroom house that is cheaper than my loft apartment rent.
Wow.
So
you see,
fun.
There
so,
you go, yeah. you know. But it is about location, mm-hmm. and Vegas is a hot place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a desert. And if you don't gamble, I don't know. Today I'm sure there's a lot more to do, but still... Right?
I mean, you can go there. Like, I just, like, I want to congratulate and shake the hands of the people who are like, I'm going to Las Vegas to hike the Red Rocks.
I know.
Right, like, don't lie to me.
Exactly.
You're looking for hookers and quaaludes. Like,
exactly. There's no fucking Red Rock. We used to get, it's too hot to go to Red Rock.
I've never
anyway.
Met someone who's like, I can't wait to hike the mountains in Las Vegas. Right. Like, no one says that, you know?
Right. I know. When you say you're born there, I picture you literally born on, like, Siegfried and Roy State. Like, it's like, that's what I picture.
100%. Right?
It's a redneck kind of town. It still is, I think.
Such an interesting. It really is. It's a. Can I curse? It's a clusterfuck of people.
Right.
I mean, you get people from all over. And then the town itself. I mean, it's a good place to work because there's so much opportunity there. But it is there's just a weird demographic of people, and I just never felt like I was like, where do I belong in this?
Wow,
town?
That's interesting. And so I imagine you probably had high schools where you lived. So I wouldn't know what it was. I was going to ask you what high school you went to, but I probably would know. What's the name of it?
I went to two different high schools there.
Okay.
They were private schools. I'm not going to...
Okay, so I don't know
who
they
are. I went to private schools.
Me too. One, well, you might know. I went to Bishop Gorman, which is a huge...
Gorman, I remember.
Bishop Gorman is they're great with sports. I mean, some of the best athletes that have come out of Las Vegas have probably gone to Bishop Gorman.
Oh, wow.
I went there for a year, but I'm Jewish and I went to a Catholic school, so I'm like...
How did that work out?
I don't know. I don't even know how I got here, you know? Well, there wasn't a Jewish high school at the time, so my parents wanted me to continue with my quality education, which they're like, we're going to send you to Catholic school.
Why not?
I mean, that's really unusual, mm-hmm. you know? So, but you kept your quote-unquote Jewish identity.
Mm-hmm.
So you still go by Jewish and everything. But, I mean, did they push any religion on you in that Christian school,
Catholic school? Not that one specifically. That I always find the Catholics are not as evangelical as some of the other religions because I only did time there for a year before I ended up going to a Lutheran school, which was much closer to home. And I had friends there because I had a hard time. I went through the Jewish day school system, which you can imagine in Vegas.
You went through everything.
I have a lot of background in a variety of educations, but
this is insane.
But I ironically did not graduate from that Lutheran school. I ended up going to boarding school in Utah that was ran by Mormons, which is
where my God.
I did end up graduating.
So you went to Lutheran, Catholic, Jewish, and Mormon school.
Mm. Right.
Wow.
And now, then she ended up being
an atheist comic.
Exactly.
Basically.
And I found out she's a pothead like me too.
Oh,
so there you go.
You can't find a comic out here that isn't.
Right.
I know.
But so apparently all the education wasn't worth shit for you.
You have to be smart in comedy, but I got to say this range of thing is hilarious. No, I know, I know.
Yeah, I meant that... that all this conservative education, she still went rebellious on everybody.
I was the token Jewish girl. Even before I smoked, I was just like I always had a lot of questions. I had no problem like asking them, borderline offensive. But I mean, I had so many questions. I'm like, this doesn't make sense, you know?
It's what curious human being is. You ask questions. Mm-hmm. Ask.
Yeah, that's true. And then you become a comic.
Yeah.
But so at what age did you start dabbling with pot?
Well, I will say that I didn't... I am a pothead, but more than that, I pride myself on labeling myself as a cannabis advocate. I'm such an advocate for this medicine.
I just told you that because it's funny.
No, I love it. It's very like, how do you know?
So, I call myself a pothead.
Oh, exactly. You're definitely of that generation. You're smoking pot, you know.
My mom goes, do you do the weed? And I go, we're not doing the grass, mom. She goes, the grass? They don't call it that anymore.
No, I call it weed a lot, but pot is still my favorite word.
Oh, no, it's great. I started, I would say the first time I tried it was when I was 19 when I went to college because my parents used scare tactics on me. I come from a very political family. My parents are both politicians out in Las Vegas.
Totally.
So, I know, I'm very interested.
They scared me and it worked because this is before the internet. They're like, if you smoke weed, you will die.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God. So I would tell my friends who would want to get me high. They always wanted to get me high.
Right.
I couldn't figure out why, you know.
Right.
I was like, no, you guys, this is it. I will die. And they're like, no one has ever died from
zero.
I will be the first one. It's going to be me, you know?
That's what every Jew thinks.
And exactly. It works. The Jewish guilt, I'm telling you, like, any person can just try Jewish guilt. Doesn't matter what culture. It will work.
Always. Always.
It works. It works in controlling the kids. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sure does. It is mind control. It is.
Yeah. Or mind fuck.
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
A little
really
bit of
is.
Both. Column really A, is. Column B. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so 19.
Nice. So 19, you discovered it, and you decided, so what the hell, I'm going to try it anyway, even though I might die. You, like, freak out the first time and think you were going to die? Because some people do, you know?
I know, I've seen it.
I guess I was underwhelmed, because they always say, like, the first time, you don't really get high.
You don't, because you don't know how to inhale and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
And then the first time I tried it, I was back east. I was going to college in Vermont. I went to two different high schools and, like, 17 different colleges.
So
but I ended up graduating eventually. But yeah, the first time was in Vermont, which I don't know if you've ever been to Vermont. That's like the most hippie state.
Pothead.
Really?
In the capital.
It is. Well, I mean, it has a healthy mix of potheads and rednecks.
Yeah. and a lot of hikers and Ben and Jerry's. I feel like that's all Vermont.
Yeah. And weed. And really weed. Good old man hippie weed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Very good weed.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Did you like it a lot? Like, I mean, did you start smoking every day or?
I would say, I mean, once I like, I discovered it and I didn't become like a true pothead until years later. Like I will say from 19 to 23 or 24, I never bought weed. I was that girl. I'm like, pretty girls, like pretty girls don't have to buy weed.
Exactly.
And then like, I was
and
like,
they
wait,
still don't,
this.
I think,
I mean,
right?
They do, but
and
they,
then it was with Coke, you know, you had Coke whores.
Coke
whores. I mean, they would be with you just
so
to have
true.
Some Coke.
I see. Okay. So Coke whores are those that would mooch off the Coke from other people.
Yeah. It's like they would fuck you for Coke.
Oh, I was way off on what I thought that
yes,
was. Oh,
yes,
my God.
No.
Get it. Way off.
Oh, God. No, I was pot sluts. No, and then once I realized, I'm like, wow, like I really like this a lot, you know, and then I moved to D.C., and that's when I started buying my own weed.
Nice.
And some of the best Jack Rare, don't know why, was in D.C.
Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Great sativa, mm-hmm. for those who don't know.
Mm-hmm. Born on a swamp. It must be the murky atmosphere.
Yeah.
Weed.
I don't know. It was
like Humboldt.
Insane. Some of the best.
But Jack Rare smells unique. Mm-hmm. And every strain that comes from it smells the same way. It's like, it's got this unique, cool smell
pungent.
To it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Potent.
All other ones I can't tell by the smell, but that one I can.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, so I mean, do you subscribe to all the sativa, indica, hybrid? You get different highs. I mean, because for me, it's all the same.
Well, I do. Why I get a lot. I get a lot of questions because I have a small following on Instagram, and I do.
It's not that small.
I mean, thank you. That's what she said.
I love
literally.
It.
I love. But. I get a lot of questions. I get a lot of feedback because once legalization happened, I made a choice within myself. I was like, I'm gonna put myself out there because I feel like I have a responsibility as someone who may not necessarily, when you first meet me, be like, she's not. I guess it depends on who you are. She's not a pothead.
Exactly.
You know, looking at me, you would never think that I'm a heavy pothead or smoker or whatever.
Right.
So once legalization happened, I made it. I was like, I'm going to own it. You
good
know, like
you.
I need to be a face for this or whatever. And I get questions all the time about like, how do you choose? Like, how do you know I have anxiety? Like, it doesn't work for me. And I always say, just approach it medically. You know, if you go into a dispensary and you're like, I want, you know, I suffer from this, or I want, you know, I want to sleep at night. I want to relax. I want to be creative. Like, approach it medicinally,
mm-hmm.
right.
and it will
and be specific.
It will work
yeah.
for you.
And if they're good bartenders, then they know how to
right.
help you with
mm-hmm.
that. You know, otherwise you go, you know, what am I buying? I'm buying medication based on the way it looks and smells.
That's
it
how you buy
no
wine,
sense.
Though. I'm always
that's
like,
so
the label
true.
Looks
but
good.
Wine.
Exactly based off the label.
But that's wine.
I know,
you
know? But it is true. And I think if you're in pain in a certain way, like indicas are great for sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so you do have differences in them, yeah.
And I believe there are because people swear by it, you know. But to me, haven't smoked for like 40 years. To me, it makes no difference.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I
well,
just have high tolerance for
100%.
It anyway.
I mean, I briefly worked at a dispensary, and I got to see a little bit of the demographic and how the market is changing. And there's a lot of like older people, grandmas and grandpas, who are sick and being treated with pharmaceuticals that just aren't working for them
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Right.
So they're finding themselves in dispensaries, places they probably never thought they would be.
Right.
It was out in West LA, so there's a huge Persian culture out there, and
wow.
It's I don't think they ever would think that they would find themselves sitting in a dispensary.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Getting medicine.
I know,
but
it's funny.
CBD I don't know if you've ever tried CBD.
We know everything.
CBD is amazing. With CBD is another component to the plant where it's the non-psychoactive. So if you consume CBD, and there are many ways to do it through topicals, tinctures, smoking it, whatever, it won't get you high. It will simply just treat it from a medicinal standpoint. And there's lotions, like, you know,
I massage my dog. She has three legs. Yeah. So I massage her back.
They're treating animal, like dogs and cats. You treat them with CBD. It helps with like seizures and cancer.
And people have to understand, you don't get high from that. It's not THC. It's a CBD.
Non-psychoactive.
And they've made a lot of big deal about it because it has medicinal value to it. And some people
It
swear
always
about
has.
It.
The stupid plant. It's a plant.
It's a plant.
Sorry.
And besides, you know, what's wrong with getting high from that plant too? You know, I mean, the thing is, not only does it get you high, people don't understand. People that don't smoke, first of all, it's not like heavy drugs. You know, it's not the same thing. It's natural. It's not made from chemicals that can make you OD and shit. So it's natural. You get high. You can't die from it. I mean, people do freak out. You know, they get anxiety.
But there's no, like, overdosing of it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No one has ever died from it. And, you know, there is, if you really do the research and look up, you know, what's really going on with our government and our world, and it really is just, in my opinion, like, big pharma just doesn't want it to be legal because it would replace so many of our medicines. True. And, I mean, you can do so much with the hemp. You know, itself. So
my aunt Barbara is a beekeeper and a bird watcher. Amazing. Because that's the part of hippie part of me. My mother is a city mouse. Her sister is a country mouse. She lives in the middle of Massachusetts and she has rheumatoid arthritis and was on 7 pharmaceutical medicines and then had always smoked weed, but started smoking specifically for pain. And she's gone. All 6 have gone. All what? 6 of her medicines.
Big pharma doesn't make money off people getting healthy.
Exactly. Right. So they want them to stay sick.
So that's the point, is when they prescribe these medicines, there's so many like side effects to them that their buddies who create the other medicines are using it to like treat the other stuff. So I mean, my best advice for anyone who's like, you know, how do I treat, you know, how should I start using cannabis, is do your research. You know, don't be afraid to ask questions and just approach it medically.
Right.
And trust someone. Don't go to some janky ass place. Go to someone that you know, place good Yelp reviews.
And the important thing to know also is you do not have to smoke it. I mean,
Aunt Barbara puts it in her, well, she smokes it, but people put it in her coffee in the morning, and it's just like all of a sudden she can eat again.
You can rub lotion on your feet. Yeah. You can spray tinctures under your tongue. Right. You know, like,
you know, chewables, brownies, anything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, and it works, you know. I mean, and we were talking about this early before the show, but I find that, and my point is this, is that it makes you high, but for many people, they're functioning on it. That's because, so in that case, it's not like it makes you high, it makes you in a better mood, maybe. It takes off the edge. I find that, you know, like, for example, I'm a fully functioning pothead and have been for years. You know, in fact, I'm like, I'm on an edible right now, for example, right?
I just took every one morning.
Before the show, every morning. I mean, yeah, because
when I found that out, I was like, oh,
yeah, that's why
I got it now.
It makes sense.
Yeah, that's why he forgets things sometimes.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, that's true, but I do sometimes. But at the same time, no, so you don't have to smoke it, but I find that it makes it getting through the day a lot easier for
especially, and I think a lot of people in geriatrics have started to look into it. when my grandparents, or, you know, they were open to it, and when they had aches and pains, they wouldn't eat, they stopped eating. A Marinol pill was the one thing that got them eating again and had them relaxing, and the nausea was gone. It was like a miracle.
Yeah.
And it's like, cigarettes are fine, but this natural thing is not. It's just very bizarre.
Yeah. Right. So it's just a bad rap that it got for years. And you know that it started with an evil attorney general back in the 30s.
It always starts with an evil attorney general.
Right?
Always.
Some things never change.
Hashtag Jeff Sessions.
That's true, right?
By the way, Jeff Sessions is one of the leading attorney generals against marijuana, one of the strongest anti-pot AGs we've ever had. And I wrote on Twitter, for someone who hates marijuana, he sure has pot brain.
I thought that was hilarious.
You can't remember anything.
Nothing.
Right. I can't recall.
Yeah, but that's intentional.
Exactly.
You know?
But I mean, it's so ridiculous. So, so it's interesting to see the war on drugs clearly hasn't worked.
It's not, and it's also not over, because he's asking Congress if he can go after medical states, and that just is sad, because the people have voted.
Yeah.
And that's what this country is about, is like, we have a democracy. You vote for something, that's what we want. You know, why would you go in and take that back? And, you know, this is access to medicine.
Right. And then take us back like 30, 40 years.
Right. You know, but what's funny is Trump actually just blocked something called Vote Vets. I think it's Vets. Vote for the Vets or Vote Vets. 500,000 veterans. And they're all politically conscious. And he blocked them on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And they're suing because blocking them on Twitter means they would, he's no longer representing them as a president.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
As a constituent and as someone who served, they feel they are no longer being represented by the president. So this Twitter thing is going to get them fucked all over the place.
It is. Well,
blocking is called. Yeah, it's blocking. Yeah. It's all of this. So.
All the stuff he does. My God, when does he have time for that?
It's
3 a.m. I don't have time for Twitter.
It's usually like 3 a.m. So yeah. I think the man doesn't sleep. Yeah. I think he's like a reptile.
I think he just sits on the toilet all night. Just a gold toilet. Like it's a royal toilet.
Just
you know?
Weird.
And you know when you don't sleep a lot, you start doing crazy shit.
Yeah, and
right?
You know he doesn't do any drugs and alcohol. That's some guy that could use some fucking weed.
I mean, just eats McDonald's. He just eats like he does drugs.
Do you know how he takes a steak?
Yeah, burnt with ketchup.
With extra ketchup. And I told you, I think that's something's wrong with him.
Oh, God.
Because that's not good.
Oh,
that's
no.
A fact. That's gross. Well done steak with extra ketchup. Ugh.
There's nothing good about that.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no amount of high you could get me to eat that.
No. And I would eat grass. I mean, I would eat anything.
Literally eat anything else.
But it's like, that's just like a bad taste.
Yeah.
You know, you have bad taste.
Yeah. So. For sure. So you're listening really to Rachel Wolfson, who's joined us this morning. So you're on Instagram and you make memes.
Yes, I'm a memer.
So tell us where people can find you.
On Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, I'm at Wolfie Memes. And also, my stand-up page is Wolfie Comedy. So, yeah.
That's cool. So you decided to do this. When did you start with the memes on Instagram?
I was working for an entertainment agency, and I was like, I need to learn a new skill. I need to learn Photoshop. Even though I went to school and I took a Photoshop class, I never retained the information. So it started off as like a way to teach myself to motivate me to learn Photoshop. And then it just like developed into this whole thing. And then my meme started getting posted on like big accounts, like Tommy Chong started posting my memes. And then I started making memes for Tommy Chong, like photoshopping him into certain situations.
That's awesome.
And things like that. And then it just became this like, okay, it's a cannabis humor account or whatever. So yeah, about a year and a half ago, and I've been really lucky because my content has been shared on some of my content has gone, I guess, quote unquote viral. Like I've gotten a million impressions to my page, which is ridiculous.
Really?
That's awesome.
Wow.
But yeah, it's been
memes are such an interesting thing because it's like we don't have an attention span to actually read anything, but it encapsulates a lot, and it's almost like a political cartoon in the 1920s.
It's weird because I mean they're basically punchlines with pictures.
Yeah,
it's a new cartoon. It's a new form of comedy.
Yeah.
But memes are here to stay. I mean, that's how people just simply communicate in memes. They don't even send text messages anymore. They're like, here's a meme. Here's how I
feel. Yeah, I only get like gifts or memes from friends to see if they want to hang out. It's either like a golden girl giving me the winky eye or a meme or something. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I will say, okay, so my mom, she started making memes of herself. My mom, she had a very famous case in Las Vegas. She put O.J. Simpson in prison for the robbery trial in Las Vegas.
Really?
So yeah,
Mama Wolfson.
Yeah, she. Well, her last name is Glass, but
Glass.
My parents are still married, so they get confused by
I
that.
Like
but
the Glass.
She has a lot of these great pictures of her behind the bench in her robe, like pointing to O.J. and like,
awesome.
You know, whatever. So she started memeing herself, but it's funny because she calls them memes. You're not. This isn't a grandma.
No,
like, it's memes.
It's but that's kind of a funny thing to do. Call it a meme.
Yeah, she memes herself. She like political memes, and
that's awesome.
Yeah,
really,
so funny.
Where can we find that?
She's on Twitter. She's at the Judge Glass.
Okay.
Awesome.
So yeah, you can find her memes there.
So she's a judge.
She was a judge. She was a district court judge. And then she got the OJ case. And then after that, she got a court TV show for a year that was called Swift Justice. Nancy Grace had it for a year, and then she took it over. And then after that, she became a private mediator and an arbitrator. So she's still in Las Vegas, but she's doing like private
mediation
and arbitration.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Imagine having OJ, like you're reading who's up next on your ticket. Oh, Mr. OJ Simpson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But this reminds me, when I was about 20, 21, I had my best buddy, his dad was a judge as well in Vegas. And we were like, we were smoking pot like it was... you know, and it was dangerous. I mean, at that time, this is in the 70s, right? 70s, late 70s. At that time, if they found one seed in your car, you would go to jail.
I know.
You know, and so I've always had like fears about being caught for pot.
Mm-hmm.
For many years, I would dream that I'm being busted for pot.
Wow.
Because
it was a real
jail
deal.
Is the scariest thing for me, and yet I couldn't stop smoking pot. Right?
See, how you felt about jail was how I felt about going to my room as a kid growing
really?
Up.
Yeah,
the worst. Right? Like, imagine having the judge that sent O.J. Simpson to prison
send you to the room.
Room.
That's so true.
But
oh
yeah,
God. So you had your fears too.
Yeah.
Wow.
My dad is a contract attorney in D.C., and he would write letters, and they were the worst. Dear Victoria, you have severely mm-hmm. disappointed me. Oh,
really?
My heart's
my
broke.
God.
My heart is broken. Typed up.
Our parents are I'm telling you, you do not want a letter from
no.
a lawyer.
No. And it's written with, it says, from Jerry Shulman, mm-hmm. Esquire. And I'm like, that's my dad. But it's like, it made, I'll never forget it.
My mom will write letters on her letterhead to my school.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. They,
My dad once time was in a voicemail said, Shulman, S-H-U-L-M-A-N. I'm like, Dad, that's my last name too.
You don't have to spell it.
Oh my God.
They're so precise.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because they're making it formal as though they don't
Very
know
formal,
you.
Yeah.
And then they
it's
have
scary.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe that gives them the permission to like be really pissed at you.
Yeah, it was because I didn't clean up the den after my friends were over. After he specific, I mean, I still remember this, and it was a letter written to Victoria Rachel Shulman, typed up. He could have signed it in blood. It was so serious. Wow.
My parents made me sign a contract when I was 7 years old on their, because they had a law firm together, Wolfson and Glass. They sent me a picture of it that they still have, that I will not get, that I Rachel Wolfson, owe Stephen Wolfson $7.85 for a toy or something. And he made me sign it, and I still haven't paid him back. So, like, once this comedy career takes off, Dad, that's $7.85.
It's all yours.
Coming to you.
Yeah, there you go. Just be patient, Dad.
You'll make it. I'm going to make it.
So, this is interesting. Now, do you have siblings?
I do. I have a younger sister. She's 5 years younger, and she's a lawyer.
She's a lawyer.
Of course she is. Of course she is.
That's what I wanted to ask. So, you're like the black sheep.
I'm the black sheep, the black wolf, whatever you want to call me. I proudly wear that title.
So, that's interesting. So, you're not interested in law, or at least not going after it as a career?
I'm not interested at all. And people would always, you know, I would always get the questions coming up, the people who, like, my parents called, like, oh my God, do you want to be a lawyer? And I'm like, no. Ew, why would I ever want that?
Get me away from that.
Yeah, I'm totally the opposite. Mm-hmm. There you go.
I was supposed to be the protege, exactly the same story. Mm-hmm. And I was like, comedy. Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
Yeah. Sounds lucrative.
Yeah. Super supportive.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. So, so to college, where did you go to college?
I went to a couple different colleges. I went to Landmark College in Vermont, which is a liberal arts school. I went to American University in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And then I got my master's at Lynn University in Boca Raton, Florida.
Oh, my God. I was the captain of a team at my camp, and I chose Lynn as my
God.
College school.
Whoa. That's crazy.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn
there.
Falcons. Mm-hmm. I know you were the Knights, I think, right?
Yeah. Lynn the Knights. Lynn Knights. Yeah.
Wow, that's so neat that I know
Small
that.
World.
And my sister went to AU.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, our lives are like parallel.
They are, right?
Are we the same person?
I think so.
I feel like you're my blonde spirit animal.
Yeah. If she's moving now, you could have been best friends.
I know.
You know?
But it's crazy because Denver, speaking of pot, is like recreational.
Yeah. Yes.
So that, I'm excited to just be like, hello, good sir.
Right.
I'd like this transaction without anything. You
I
know?
Mean, I really would. I that's actually crazy. Want you to like walk in there like you're Shakespearean. Like, give me thy joint, you know?
Yeah. Hello, good sir. Is the blacksmithy around?
But still, I understand in Denver or in Colorado, you still can't like have like a coffee shop, right? Where you can sit and smoke with a lot of people.
I don't think you could smoke publicly. I don't know. I know you can buy it without anything and it's regulated as if it's a Snickers bar.
Right.
I don't know if you can publicly smoke like in Amsterdam.
Right.
I went to the zoo and just was smoking
right.
a joint.
But no, you're not supposed to in Amsterdam.
Yeah, it's true. I wasn't supposed to.
No, you're not supposed to.
But I mean, in coffee shops, you can in Amsterdam.
In coffee
yeah.
shops,
right.
you can. And I'm wondering.
I don't think they have that yet.
Because otherwise, it's not fun. I mean, let me smoke with people. Let me meet new people like a bar.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Ideally,
a bar.
Like, that's the future.
Yeah.
You know, having
have a newspaper
safe
and a
space
joint.
For people who can consume marijuana.
Yeah, like a bar. Why not? What's wrong with that? They have vape rooms. They have all this shit, you know?
Yeah, you have cigar dens.
Well, I mean,
who's getting laid at a vape room? I just want to know.
I just want to eat. Yeah, also, vape rooms are like kind of douchey.
Ugh, so
like the
yeah,
word of
vape. I've never been.
Is that where people are all together just vaping?
Yeah
that's really lame. That's lame.
No.
That's the definition of lame.
Just can't.
That's true. No one's getting laid in that room. I agree with Rachel.
Yeah. What about hookah? I mean, that's the same thing.
Hookah's still cool. Yeah. I mean, because you can still feel like you're cultured when you're smoking.
I was
going to
say
hookah.
It's a culture thing. Yeah. But vaping is, I've become an LA douchebag. Yeah, that's my culture.
That's exactly. It's a douchebag culture.
Completely.
Do you even vape, bro? Like,
right.
You know?
So many bros.
I know.
A lot of bros. And the people that are obsessed with the flavor, I don't understand. They're like, I got a creme brulee.
I know.
Dude,
what the hell is
that?
Dude,
smoke your fucking weed.
Or just
man.
Eat a creme brulee.
Yeah.
You know?
Have the weed and then eat it. I don't get that. Or the bubblegum one. I'm like, what are you, seven?
Yeah,
I can't.
I know. They get all these like
Jolly
contraptions to vape with.
And then the vape comes out like Mount Etna.
I know.
Some kind
really
of explosion.
Is. There's nothing like a manly dude is like, I got this cotton candy. You know?
I mean, do you ever drive behind cars where suddenly all the thing
volcanic
comes
explosions.
That's literally
ash.
What it is. Mount St. Helens,
yeah,
you know, like Dante's
out.
Peak.
Totally.
Right.
And
it screams to cops and stuff like, pull me over. I might be smoking pot.
You're literally smoke signaling to
exactly.
cops.
Exactly.
Pull me over.
Yeah.
Very strange.
People are crazy, yeah. you know?
But yeah. Well, that's so, how it is nowadays.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
So, Rachel, this is cool. So, we found us a marijuana lover mm-hmm. that we're able to actually share our experiences with.
Yeah. And discuss.
That's cool. From Vegas.
Exactly.
Via D.C., Florida, everywhere, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, pretty much.
And how did you land in L.A.?
I was in Florida. I finished up school. I started, I was working in the hospitality industry because being from Vegas, worked in hospitality my whole life. I was working for doing marketing. The perfect job for a stoner chick was doing marketing for an organic pizza corporation.
Hell yeah. I'm on board already.
I know, it was amazing. I took that job and like my boss who I work for was just like such a huge inspiration to me. His name's Von Dugan. He's amazing. He's still in Florida. He's a restaurant owner. He really inspired me getting into like social media because I went to school for marketing and I learned a lot of what I learned about social media from him. And through that job, I started like picking up my own clients for social media, which in Florida, no one knows how to do that. I mean, they're all like older local mom and pop business owners and they don't realize like you need to have social media to advertise your business or mm-hmm. you're just not going to sustain. So through that, I was doing that for a couple years and I was like, you know what? Like Boca Raton is God's waiting room. Like I'm literally here just waiting to die. So like, I was just like, I want to move to LA. I always wanted to move to LA even since I was a little girl. My dad's from out here. And it was back when my mom had her Court TV show and I wanted to move back then, which was like 4 years before that. I wasn't ready, but I was like, I just, you know, I need to move to LA. I have to do it. Like I'm going to do it. So I met a guy. What's the easiest way to get to LA is
yep.
just date a guy who's
yep.
in LA and then just move in with him,
yep.
date him for a couple years, break
leave
up,
him.
Then
yep.
get your own place.
Yep.
So that's basically what
and
I did. That's how I did it. Right?
Hopefully not under a sugar daddy arrangement.
Oh,
or
no,
anything.
No. He was more of my age and he didn't pay for a lot. So
he didn't pay for a lot.
But yeah.
How much does he have to pay
no,
for?
No, he doesn't. He honestly, like, I yeah, he doesn't have to pay for anything. But
you fell in love, right? Or you'd like to say that you did.
I mean, in like the fairy tale version, I would say, yeah, we fell in love. Or right. but he.
Cool. So it made it easier
yeah,
to move here.
For sure.
Awesome. And so did you decide that you wanted to do entertainment before, after?
Well, I knew. I was like, I want to work in the entertainment industry. I didn't know what that was. I knew that because I had my marketing background that that's what would get me into like, you know, just out here because you just have, you know, just have to have something.
Right.
And then I started working for my ex, doing his social media for his production company. And that gave me a lot of opportunity. I wrote blogs for him. I started all of his social media pages. And then we broke up and I basically had to fend for myself because he was my first connection out here in LA. And you know, you just, everything out here in LA is network.
It's who you know.
And you never know who, Casey downstairs.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he saw me up on stage and you never know, like he
yeah.
was the one who vouched for me. So you just never know in LA who's gonna, you know, connect you to the right person.
Hey, man,
you know?
I got this
That's
job
true.
In Denver because they happened to go to a meeting with somebody who was at the lunchroom who worked at another place mm-hmm. that had worked with me. And he goes, oh, let me show you this girl. That's how I got the job.
Right.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it wasn't me submitting. It was a friend of a friend who knew me from 6 years ago showing
right.
a video to someone in a bathroom.
Right.
Exactly.
You know?
That's what it is. And oftentimes it is those people that you meet 5 years ago ago that
you keep in touch.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So
yeah, there you go.
Smart girl, this girl.
And yeah, and you got to put yourself out there so people can see you. You know, you can't sit at home and hope that people will know you.
And you also have to, like, for instance, I sent Tipsy Tori, that stupid show I was doing, to this producer 6 years ago. I'd worked with her one time. But you keep those names in a file because that'll be the person who'll get you the big job.
Right.
So, and she did.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
What's kushqueen.co? Is that you?
It's not me. It's the company I work for. My friend Olivia is on the on Instagram. She's a huge cannabis influencer. And her brand is the Kush Queens. And
I think I've heard of them.
Yeah, she's. We work together on this. It's a cannabis media site called. It was formerly called BudFeed, but we changed it because we didn't want to get sued.
Yeah.
BuzzFeed
would be right over you.
BudFeed is the. Or it's called the Bud now, but her and I, we do a lot of like content creation, and she's a huge friend and mentor of mine. And she has a bunch of cannabis brands, and I came to her about a year ago because. I started my Instagram account and I noticed, just like every other industry in this world, especially the cannabis industry, is very male dominated. And the perception of women and the images of women that the cannabis industry up until now has been pushing out very misogynistic images, you know, like weed on girls'
butts, bikini,
naked. And that's just not something that I identify with. And if you, and you know, there are women out there who consume cannabis who aren't like that.
Right.
And there isn't a market that was really tapping into it. So I came to her about a year ago. I discovered that she has a huge following on Instagram. Collectively, like with all of her pages, she has like over 2 million followers.
Wow.
She has a big following on YouTube. And I was like, I want to create something with you that is more, you know, like that reaches obviously women like me and her, but is just, you know, classy and lifestyle-y or whatever. So we started a podcast. It's called the BudFeed podcast. It's out on iTunes or whatever. And so she's the genius behind the Kush Queen, and I work with her. So that's
awesome.
How cool is that? Yeah. So you're finding your place here in LA and the culture and everything. That's awesome.
But notice again, like what you and I have talked about is, and what you've always told me is, like, be very specific in what you want to do. So Rachel not only was a comic, but she was moving into memes specifically in the cannabis world. That is as niche as you can get.
I've really There's maybe one other girl who does, I mean, and it's just not solely cannabis meme content, but she doesn't even live here. So she's not even in the industry, like, you know, going to the events or whatever. So I really did tap into a unique market.
Yeah, find where you're needed. True. Yeah. And again, I think in the 90s and the 2000s, we had Puff, a lot of like P. Diddy music videos and girls in fur vests smoking doobies out of their butt. And that's not the generation I know, is
that's
chicks
true.
Having book clubs with some wine and a nice joint. I mean, it's really a sophisticated way of discussing it. So that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Wow. Well, we're almost out of time. Rachel Wolfson, you're amazing.
Yeah,
really.
you're very amazing. Talented.
I had so much fun.
We'll
today.
Have you back
I
for
would
sure.
Love
you know?
I would absolutely love that.
And I mean, you know, smart woman, beautiful.
I think
funny.
This should be the co-host.
You think so?
I think so. I give my blessing.
She's like so.
She's great. She reminds me of me. It's perfect.
Honestly, like, why are you leaving? I'm already upset.
Right. No, but the funny thing is, I asked her about it before you got here.
I wondered if you had.
Yeah.
Because you need a chick that's just with it.
Yeah. Yeah. You need someone smart. I mean, with a master's degree, you belong here.
Thank you.
So we'll see, you know, but I've already committed to at least seeing a few people. So we'll see what happens. But either way, you're now a new friend of the show, right?
Thank you. Yes. I love it.
So tell people again where they can find you.
Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Wolfie Memes. Also on Instagram at Wolfie Comedy for my stand-up.
And she's funny as hell, sexy, funny, smart. And now Lisa makes us wear dresses, which I have a thing with, for the show. You have to wear a dress if you're doing Pretty Funny Women. And I have, I've fought with her about this. I think it's stupid. I look like an idiot wearing a dress when I could look like I'm wearing jeans like Sarah Silverman. Mm-hmm. However, she believes women should look like women. And Rachel is what everyone wants to look like when we're there.
That's so funny you say that because I'm literally so uncomfortable in these outfits.
I didn't know.
I'm like, you will never catch me voluntarily wearing a dress.
You look so hot. It
honestly.
Was like what I wish I had worn, like a big balloony neoprene thing. I was like, why didn't I look like
no oh my god, you're so adorable. I can't
but it's a chic look. Thank you. Continue with the niche and be a smart advocate. I'm so blessed to have met you.
Oh, me too. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, we all have. And I'm thinking here as we're doing the show that here's the opportunities that life sends you, you know? Mm-hmm. If you're out there and you meet people, you know, you
run into the right people. And you wouldn't have met unless you go to that comedy.
Exactly, right, exactly. You know?
And, you would have missed
and
it.
We went to the previous show, we met other people.
And I wouldn't have met you if it weren't for Lisa, if it weren't for Sam. It's just the universe, you know?
There you go. Mm-hmm. And you put it out there.
90% of life is showing up.
It's so
you got to be there. Yeah, you really got to be there. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, guys. You're the best.
You're welcome back anytime. Tori, thank you.
Anytime. She's way better than me, guys.
Well, I don't know about that.
Just kidding.
The countdown continues, and I'm getting more depressed.
Let's go smoke a joint, right?
Exactly. Everybody, thank you all for joining us, and we'll be here tomorrow for a very fun show.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.